You have tuned in to the E-Commerceaholic. My name is TJ Gamble, and I am here to help you get more from your e-commerce store. Now, today, we're going to talk about nobody's favorite topic, and that is e-commerce sales tax. But I wanted to touch on this topic because the U.S. Supreme Court recently ruled on the South Dakota versus Wayfair, and that's going to change how most merchants that are doing business in the United States are charging and remitting their sales tax. So if you're new around here and you like what we're doing, you're into e-commerce, remember to hit that subscribe button, tap that notification bell while you're at it, and welcome to the E-Commerceaholic family. Whether you're new or not, give this video a thumbs up, help us spread the word, help other people find what we're doing here so that we can continue to provide value. So I was trying to figure out who to have on to talk about this, and you know, the choice was pretty obvious. Let's reach out to someone that does this for a living, who spends all of their time thinking about the things we don't want to think about, and that's sales tax. So, Mark, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us maybe a little bit about how you got into the exciting world of sales tax.
Sure. So Vertex has been around for about 40 years. It started as a book of sales and use tax rates, and has since moved to sales and use tax automation. So we provide sales and use tax automation for general sales tax, telecommunications tax. We do leasing tax. We support all different types of markets and verticals. We serve or have served over the course of our history the Fortune 500 companies. Probably about 80% of the Fortune 500 companies have worked with Vertex to solve their sales and use tax automation through partnerships with some of our ERP providers. We have since, about 4 years ago, expanded into what we call Vertex Cloud, which has enabled us to move down market to serve that market where we saw a greater need for sales and use tax automation.
So you guys just, you do the whole thing though. I mean, I can plug my website into your service and I can calculate the rates, but you file all the paperwork. I mean, you maintain that entire setup, correct?
Yeah, so Vertex Cloud provides an end-to-end solution for sales and use tax automation. So you can connect your Magento store and the Magento admin console to the Vertex product, the Vertex Cloud. We'll process your sales tax. We'll provide rates and responses back to Magento as part of that process. We'll also take those entries, store them in a tax journal, and then create PDF returns as part of that process. So we have that as our Vertex Cloud offering, but we also have an on-premise offering as well, where customers who prefer to maintain their own data set and manage their own business on their own, their infrastructure, et cetera, that they can also leverage Vertex from that position as well.
Okay, and we're here to kind of talk about the South Dakota versus Wayfair case and how that's going to change sales tax, especially online. And so, you know, feel free to post your questions in the chat again. But for those that don't know or really haven't put a lot of thought into it, you know, kind of give us a description of what the current landscape is for online sales tax so that we can really set up how this case is going to change that.
Yeah, I guess the current landscape kind of states, I guess in 1992, Quill versus North Dakota, actually, where the Supreme Court ruled that electronic commerce or catalog shopping did not facilitate a physical presence or a presence within a state, and therefore the state could not impose a sales tax for catalog shoppers, basically stating that states did not have to impose sales tax on anybody doing business outside unless they had a physical presence or what we call nexus within North Dakota. I mean, that rule has stood in place, like I said, since 1992. South Dakota versus Wayfair kind of came out and they fought that rule, saying that it was no longer valid, especially when you look at the e-commerce market. I think it's $360 billion market where customers are purchasing from online sites and not having to pay sales tax. So states are losing their revenue, or they're losing revenue as part of that process from online sales. So the current landscape said, if I don't have nexus, if I don't have physical presence in your state, I don't have to collect or remit sales tax. What the South Dakota versus Wayfair ruling does is now say, even if you don't have physical presence, but you have electronic presence. So you're selling stuff over the internet into my state. I now have the ability to impose a sales tax. So you have to collect the sales tax and then remit that as part of the process. The Supreme Court has ruled with some thresholds in place in order to make it fair. So they've created thresholds, but that's the basic outline of what South Dakota versus Wayfair has done to the market today.
So what are those thresholds? Like, how do I know if I need to submit tax to the state of South Dakota at this point? And I guess kind of when does that go into effect?
So the South Dakota ruling, I think it's $100,000. If you reach $100,000 in annual revenue, or up to 200 transactions in a year, and that's individual transactions. So once I hit those thresholds, I have to register in the state and start collecting sales tax. Collecting that sales tax and registering then forces me to remit a sales and use tax return to South Dakota, as an example. And that's for the current year and the previous year. So if this year I've made the threshold, and coming into next year, even though I haven't hit the threshold, I'm still going to have to file in the state of South Dakota a sales tax return for those transactions.
So explain to me how the threshold works, or how it's going to work. If I meet the threshold this year, should I have been submitting tax this year? Like, what if I meet the threshold in November and I haven't been charging sales tax? Like, what happens to me? Do I just have to worry about it next year, or should I, or am I liable for all the back taxes for this year?
So it's based off reaching the threshold. So if you reach the threshold in November, you're going to have to register in the state and start collecting that sales tax. You should do some analysis on your business right now to understand if you're already meeting those thresholds, to ensure that you register, and then make sure you follow up to a tax advisor, right? But one of the things a service that Vertex doesn't provide is we don't advise on tax, but you can talk to your tax advisor, who can tell you if you should register and to start remitting the tax. Now, what that means going forward is, even if you make no money in that state, say you do some online sales and you register in the following year, it's a dry year, and you're not actually making any revenue in that state, you're not actually doing any transactions in that state, you still have to remit based off of the South Dakota Department of Revenue's website. You still have to remit a return, even though you haven't received any revenues within that state for that period of time.
Yeah, I mean, once you're in the system, you pretty much have to file every year regardless, right? That's pretty much how that works.
So that's typically how it works. Now, you know, I understand that there have been some discussions regarding, you know, states not wanting an overabundance of $0 returns as part of the process. But from a business perspective, if I'm registered in the state, in order to avoid audit, I would think, and this is just my thought process on what I know about sales tax, that if I've already remitted a return in 2018 and in 2019, I want to remit that return because I don't want to bring any suspicion from an audit perspective to my business. So I think the states still need to iron out how they're going to work through that process. I don't know that it's clearly defined to date. I can tell you based on history, yes, you would have to submit a $0 return as part of that process, but that just creates a lot of paperwork for the jurisdictions.
So how did South Dakota win this case? How did they overcome the previous precedent that was set forward? What argument did they, you know, obviously we think, well, they just want their money. They got to get their dollars. But, you know, that argument doesn't always hold up in a court of law. So how did they go about winning this case and getting that overturned?
Yeah, I think their argument was, it was a sound argument, right? The argument was that, you know, this rule was made in 1992, Quill versus North Dakota. And with e-commerce and online shopping, you're looking at an industry in 2016 that hit $360 billion in sales, right? So $360 billion according to Statistica, right? $107 billion during last year's holiday season alone, right? So if you look at South Dakota, they're looking at it going, we lost $50 million in annual revenue because we're not collecting online sales tax. So, you know, it's a sound argument. They're missing out on dollars where they're customers and their brick and mortar stores are losing, theoretically losing business to online retailers because they're not having to collect sales tax.
Not charging online sales tax gives sellers, you know, especially sellers that are online specific, gives them a large advantage over local retailers in that you instantly get a discount if you go online and buy. And I can't tell you how many times I've went locally and I've looked at product and I've done my research locally. I may go over to Best Buy, I may see the product, feel the product, make sure it's the right product. And then I go online and I buy the product and I find it, you know, $20 cheaper, and then I don't have to pay tax. So without that advantage, especially as this starts to spread to other states, do you see this change having an overall negative impact on e-commerce, or, you know, kind of what's your outlook on that?
It's a good question. Really look at it this way. I don't believe that it's going to have a negative impact on e-commerce sales, right? Consumers like the flexibility and convenience of home delivery, right? That's why we buy, right? It's convenient. I don't have to run out to the store. I can order it online. And in my own personal use, I'm not always worried about the sales tax when I'm purchasing something. But if I get free shipping, right, if I can get it shipped to my house for free, I don't need to go to a brick and mortar retailer, right? I can take advantage of the free shipping, have it delivered to my house. It's convenient and it's flexible. Where it will impact e-commerce, right, it's going to force organizations to have to now manage a sales tax process that they haven't accounted for in the past, right? They've been able to ignore it. Now they're going to have to pay attention to that, which is going to create complexity in their business. They're not certainly not aware of all the complexity of sales tax, the rates and the rules, because it's not simple in some cases. It's saying, well, I need to start collecting sales tax in South Dakota. They may have a simple tax regime, but as other states start implementing these types of rules, their specific product taxability e-commerce vendors may take advantage of merchants take advantage of as they start selling these products. So the complexity now of managing that business and working through the sales tax issues is really where Vertex helps the merchants, because it takes the burden off them to have to worry about that process and allow Vertex to manage the rules, to manage the rates, to manage the content, and provide that out as an integration back to them to their e-commerce system, right? The other thing that's really complex around that, where it impacts those merchants, is each state has the ability to create its own thresholds and to determine when an organization is required to remit and collect as part of that process. So, again, I don't think it's going to impact the sales overall, but the merchants and the amount of work that they have to put into managing the sales tax process is going to change their business.
Yeah, and we've got Ann in the chat. Thanks for your question here, Ann. Ann asks, and I think this is right up your alley here. So what's the easiest way for an e-com business to be compliant?
Well, the easiest way for an e-com business to be compliant is really to probably work with a sales and use tax automation organization like Vertex, right? We understand the rates and the rules and all the jurisdictions, and we manage that process. And we've been doing it for 40 years. It really provides the best method for your organization to manage through the sales tax process and be able to get a clean implementation and make sure you're compliant today and moving forward.
So obviously there's a lot of complexity around sales tax regardless. And you know, this case doesn't make that any simpler. So it seems obvious that other states are going to be following South Dakota's model. This is going to open up the floodgates. How do you expect this to affect other states? And does this ruling open up the door for states to start going after back taxes online?
So I'm not sure I can comment on the back taxes. I don't know that it provides that opportunity. I believe that there, with the Quill ruling in place, new law, I think, has to look forward. I don't know that it can look back. But you do have to keep in mind that there are states that have already claimed a result around click-through or economic nexus. Some of them were on hold based on the Wayfair outcome. But some states had already started to enact it. So for those states who already started the process, And if they announced that legislation in the early parts of 2018 or even back to 2017, theoretically, they could go back to that, to where the law was instantiated, and look at those transactions, or look at those organizations forward to go try to collect some sales and use tax. I think the overall impact here says states are already in the process of doing that. You know, 21 states have an economic model in place for economic nexus. There's another 9 states so far have issued a plan, but are seeking some guidance, and 18 states don't have one, but those 18 states exclude or include the number of states that don't even have a sales tax, right? So that's the other piece of the process that's going to occur here. States have economic nexus plans, but there is congressional movement at the Senate to oppose the ability to enforce the Wayfair ruling.
Okay, if you're watching this live, again, we are here for you. So post your questions in the chat. We will do everything we can to get you answers, and you get to steer this conversation. This is going to be a very short conversation if you don't post questions. The audience always asks the best questions. That's always where, you know, we're trying to serve you. And so the questions that you have are the questions that we want to answer here. So please post them in the chat and I will get them answered. So, you know, South Dakota has a fairly simple set of rules that they've enacted to try to overturn this case. But does this kind of open the floodgates for states to maybe be a little more aggressive? I think that's one of the biggest concerns, is that, you know, each state to state, they're going to enact their own rules. And although South Dakota was real careful and there's no back taxes and there's, you know, fairly generous thresholds, does that open the opportunity for other states to just kind of ask for forgiveness instead of permission and be more aggressive in getting nexus in their state and collecting their taxes?
I'm not sure if it makes them provides them the ability to be more aggressive. I certainly believe that other states are going to set up electronic nexus requirements. I don't know that it'll be a uniform type of system. I believe each state can set up its own set of requirements with different thresholds or different transaction counts as part of that process. And I believe they will. You know, I think it's going to add an additional layer to an already complex tax environment. From a Vertex perspective, it creates a greater need for sales and use tax automation.
So if each state can set their own laws, you know, that's going to make it really complicated. It's going to be non-uniform system where every state has a different set of rules, which is pretty much what it is now. What's the chances that Congress is going to actually step up and make the system more uniform and simpler for merchants?
Well, I think already what you've seen is some senators putting out the Stop Taxing Our Potential. It's a stop legislation to reestablish the physical presence nexus standard that was established under Quill versus North Dakota. So I think Congress is going to have to act. I think they're going to have to make some decisions to try to help smooth the process. What those outcomes will be a result, I can't look into a crystal ball and foresee what they're going to do. But at some level, I believe that they have to get involved to at least provide some standardization around the electronic nexus piece.
We've got a question in the chat here from Drew Abbott. Thank you for your question. And Drew's question is, does Vertex break down the data to let sellers know where and what states they have the most economic presence?
So you can run reports from the Vertex tools from our systems that can tell you a transaction detail report that can give you guidance in where you had transactions, both the number of transactions and the dollar value of those transactions. So while we do have the ability through our system to provide that data.
And hopefully that answered your question, Drew. Just in general, though, 200 orders is not a lot of orders for you to have Nexus in a state. So if you're, I mean, if you're doing any sort of volume, then you're going to start running into Nexus in just about every state. So you definitely need to start looking at an automated. There's no other way. I mean, can you envision any other way for a small merchant to actually keep up with this other than some sort of automated solution? I just can't think of anything.
And neither can I really, TJ. It's a challenge. Theoretically, you could do something with just a rate and plug rates into your system and try to keep tracking. But if you're a small merchant, tax isn't your business. There's a lot of complexities involved with sales tax that can help your business. Right, you can create a greater ROI by leveraging a sales and use tax automation tool and allow the professionals to manage that process for you. Trying to manage it yourself, it can be a great challenge.
Yet I know a lot of merchants, when you had the GDPR issues, I've seen a lot of websites just not start selling or stop selling or stop allowing visitors from the European Union. I don't expect anybody to be able to just cut off selling to a particular state, not if you're in the U.S. and the U.S. is your market. But do you see maybe foreign e-commerce websites, you know, that are not based in the U.S., where the U.S. is not a huge portion of their business? Does the complexity and the problems maybe perhaps outweigh the benefits of selling into that market, and you start seeing some of the people that maybe don't sell regularly kind of cutting off access to be able to order from the U.S.?
Yeah, I'm not sure that I see that either. You know, one of the biggest challenges I think states are going to have is, and this is my personal opinion, is applying the rule to those foreign entities, and how do they manage through that? How do you audit a Chinese company or a German company when they're selling goods over the internet to US-based customers? So that's going to be a different challenge that the states have to figure out how they're going to manage through that process.
We've got a question in the chat from Aaron, and I'm going to go a little deeper on this. And I know Vertex was really aimed at larger corporations, Fortune 500, Fortune 1000 companies, and you've kind of pushed down market into Magento's bread and butter space there. And that's why, you know, you've been really prevalent in the Magento community. And for those that maybe are new to the live stream, I come from a Magento background. Jamerson is a Magento agency really focusing on that platform and those builds. So Vertex has made a big push there. And Aaron's question is, how does Vertex work within the Magento platform? But what I want to do is maybe elaborate on that a little more. And are there any other carts other than just Magento that you have kind of an off-the-shelf connector for? And you know, whatever, if you're not using one of those platforms, how would you integrate with Vertex?
Yeah, so I'll speak on the Magento piece. So we're a core bundled extension within Magento, which when a merchant has Magento installed, they can simply open up their tools and settings and configure Vertex from a sales tax engine to start leveraging Vertex, and then reach out to Vertex as part of that process to have a cloud instance set up, stood up, so that they can start processing transactions through the system. We do have a number of other integrations to ERPs and e-commerce platforms as part of our process. It's a robust list of integrations that we've specifically targeted as part of our process. If we don't have an integration to a merchant's e-commerce platform, we have a program that we call Bring Your Own Connector, where we enable them to be able to build an integration to Vertex in order to start leveraging us for that sales and use tax automation.
We've got a great question. Another question here from Ann in the chat. And Ann asks, what steps should a company do internally to start to prepare? So if you're you know, not really doing anything right now, like a lot of merchants I talk to are just paying tax in their own state, and they're not really collecting taxes in other states. So this is starting to move forward, and you're going to have to, you know, the floodgates are open. So what should someone like Ann do right now to kind of start preparing herself? We've already said that you've got to automate this, but are there any preparations and organizations that she needs to do internally to be ready for that?
Yeah, well, I think first off, what merchants need to do is really take a good look and do some analysis on their business, right? They need to understand where they're doing, should start with where they're doing the majority of their sales from an online perspective. Gross revenues and transaction counts as part of that. And then they need to really start prioritizing that, take that information and map it to specific states where economic nexus laws are in place, and make sure you're prioritizing the implementation based off of those states. What's the impact on your financial system? Do you have a financial system? Does your e-commerce platform or your financial system have an integration to a third party in order to manage compliance? And then really have to review your internal processes as part of this to figure out what my next step should be, right? Certainly undertaking a sales and use tax automation scheme isn't a simple task. But if you're leveraging the right types of resources and the right type of organization, which I think Vertex Inc. is, provide that support as part of that process. So getting all that data lined up, understanding your business, where you have the most business, and aligning that to this, prioritizing that based off the states that have economic nexus laws is a great place to start.
So, you know, I mean, I don't really know what sales tax automation looks like exactly. I don't know what you do, what I have to do. If I'm a merchant, what does my portion of that look like? Like literally, how automated is it? What resources do I need to have? How much effort do I need to put into it? What organization am I going to have to provide? What data am I going to have to give you? You know, how does that interaction between merchant and a service like Vertex look?
Yeah, so if I use Magento as an example, the process is really it's a simple or complex as needed for the business. So the first part of it, like I said, if we're a core bundled extension and you're leveraging Magento, it's simply coming in, enabling the sales tax engine, and signing up for an account with Vertex. Upon doing that, Vertex will reach out to the merchant and start an onboarding process where we'll explain some of the requirements. So it'll be enabling some jurisdictions and really understanding the product catalog of the company. If it's a very large product catalog, implementation may take a little longer. A smaller product catalog would cause a simpler implementation. So while sales tax automation can solve the problem of the sales tax liability and helping manage through that, merchants should be aware that it's still a project. There is a bit of a project undertaking that's going to be involved with enabling any sales and use tax automation tool. But once that's enabled, it's almost a set it and forget it type of system. Once it's enabled, you're starting to leverage the system. We're returning the sales tax to your e-commerce or your ERP system, calculating and providing that data out to your customers. If you're leveraging this for the returns process, it's simply coming in once a month to the Vertex tool to look at your returns and then start the process of filing and remitting.
We've got another question in the chat here from Thomas. Thomas asks, if I have a website that sells nationally, and as we assume, all states are going to follow the South Dakota decision, does that mean one monthly sales tax return remitted to each state?
Yeah, so I think that's the part that I'm not clear on yet today either. In some states, when you collect sales tax, local jurisdictions, you're required to remit sales tax forms at local jurisdiction level. So it's not just the state. So this is a question that's still outstanding in my mind. I think we still need to understand how that's going to push forward from a legislation standpoint. If states require, if states are collecting the sales tax, but we're not sending it down to the local jurisdictions as an example, it may force merchants to submit local jurisdiction returns. So I think that's a question that it's a great question. I don't think we have a clear definition of that yet based on where we are with the legislation.
Now it's all brand new. This case is what, a couple of weeks old at best, the decision. So are there any other areas that you see that we really have to wait and kind of flesh out and we won't understand until maybe even we see how they enforce it.
Yeah, so I think I think there are definitely areas that we're still trying to figure out. Even today, just trying to get through the threshold discussion and understanding what the different thresholds mean, and where they roll up. Are they annually, or do they reset annually, as an example, the thresholds? Or if I've had met the transaction volume in year one, and year two, what's my requirement? Does my transaction volume reset for year two? So I think how it gets enforced is still a question. I think states are trying to get through that process now. What happens from a return standpoint? If it's a state requirement, am I forced to pay? Can I just enable sales tax at the state level, or do I still have to manage through the local jurisdictions as well? Because in some states, like Alabama, where you have parishes and different levels of district jurisdiction tax, how does all that get managed, and is it part of the requirement from this outcome?
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing that I really haven't put a lot of thought into as well, that you mentioned a minute ago, is that we're not talking about state sales tax. We're talking about local jurisdictions. And once you get into that, I mean, everything's different as far as, you know, what their percentages are, their sales tax holidays, which are real popular in the United States. I mean, we're really creating a much more complicated mess than having 50 different places to report tax.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, even without the law, economic nexus, sales tax is it's a complex world. And you talk about exemptions and managing through exemptions. You talk about managing specific product configurations. You talk about a Snickers bar, and if I'm in the health foods business, how do I manage that as a health food or as a confection? So what I do in my business and how I manage my process impacts how I complete a sales tax, how I work with sales tax. And you're right. We're talking about South Dakota versus Wayfair, and the ruling there was in favor of South Dakota and economic nexus. Now, when we talk about that, South Dakota is pretty simple from a sales tax perspective. It's a 4.5% sales tax rate that gets applied to sales. But when you start looking at some other jurisdictions who have much more complexity and different layers of tax, how do we manage through that? And I don't think that's been defined yet. I think that's still an open question that we need to work through.
So, you know, I think I saw a presentation by someone at Vertex, and they talk about how, you know, the product complexity and how, like in New York, a bagel is taxed differently if it's sliced versus if it's not sliced. In an e-commerce setting, now, I don't know too many people that are selling bagels online, but I'm sure there's some complexity in non-food based products. I know food seems to be the most complex. Can you maybe cite some examples of maybe non-food related items that have really complex tax rules? And from an e-commerce perspective, how would we handle those?
Yeah, so, you know, I can use Pennsylvania as an example, really any state, but let's look at it this way. I'm an e-commerce provider I'm headquartered in Alabama, and I'm selling sports apparel to a Pennsylvania-based school district that may be exempt. I never cared about that transaction because I wasn't collecting the sales tax in Pennsylvania. But now if I'm that e-commerce business and I'm selling sports athletic equipment to all of the public schools in Pennsylvania, as an example, if those public schools are set up as tax exempt, I now have to manage that sales tax process. They're exempt transactions, but I'm selling those transactions into a state where I have to manage those transactions, right? So I know I'm going to exceed the threshold. So I have to the threshold from a transaction volume. And I'm also going to exceed the threshold from a dollar value of sales. Even though all of those transactions may be exempt, I still now have to take that data into my system, register in Pennsylvania, and file and remit that return, even though all of those transactions were exempt. So that's kind of the complexity that you look at. If I'm just selling sports equipment to a youth organization, to the parents of the players in that youth organization, and I offer, there's some type of exemption status goes with that, I have to manage that, even if it's a percentage of an exemption. So that's where the complexity comes in when you start talking about this electronic nexus.
And keep your questions coming. We're going to go about 10 more minutes. I'm running out of my questions. So, you know, you guys are here to steer this conversation. If you want to know more about anything in particular that we're talking about or sales tax in general, please post your questions while you're here. Don't forget to hit the thumbs up on this video. Help us spread the word. And if you're not already a subscriber, then subscribe to the channel. I mean, come on. Why are you here if you're not subscribed? There's an insider club in the description of the video. Join the insider club. We'll remind you on Fridays when we go live, and we will send you a schedule of upcoming live streams. We've got a great live stream next week. We're going to have some of the team on from Magento Commerce Cloud. So please set the reminder, subscribe to the channel, join that insider club. So we'll let you know when we go live. So I want to talk about just for a second there, the you had talked about, I lost my train of thought. I start promoing next week and I just completely and totally lose my train of thought. The question was, you kind of talked about a tax exempt transaction. And so with a tax exempt transaction, if I'm selling a lot of B2B and B2C, does the tax exempt transactions actually count toward my total number of transactions to have nexus in that state?
Based on how I read the ruling and my understanding of it from within the organization, it does exempt transactions as part of the process. So even if you're selling into the state 200 transactions or $100,000 worth of business annually, that forces you to register. So the transaction count doesn't say except unless they're exempt transactions. They count towards that threshold and would require you to register in that state and start remitting returns in that state.
So if all of my transactions were tax-exempt B2B transactions, then I still have nexus in the state. I still have to file a $0 return.
You would file a return with your gross sales that would then list the exemptions and why they're exempt. And while the what you may owe the jurisdiction would be a zero amount, it still has to show those exempt transactions as part of the process. But yes, you would have to file that with the jurisdiction.
So is managing the reasoning and the tax exempt status of my customers and, you know, all the complexities that can come with that, is that something Vertex handles as well?
It's all part of the Vertex system that, yes, we can handle. So it's integrated as part of our cloud solution, but we also have a standalone solution that customers can work with as well for that process. Like I said, Vertex Cloud provides an end-to-end solution to help organizations manage this complexity.
We have a question in the chat from Cal Evans. Thank you for watching, Cal. Cal is a regular here, actually was on the live stream way too many weeks ago. We need to have you on again sometime, Cal. And his question is, does this at all affect international sales? Can you foresee any way? Obviously, international from, you know, if you're selling to the U.S. from overseas, there's an obvious impact. But going the other direction, is there any complexity there or any kind of side effect that you could see might affect that?
Wow, that's a deep question. I would say keep your ears peeled as part of this process. I can certainly understand where foreign companies or foreign countries want to impose a VAT tax as part of this process. Like I said, I can see a ripple occurring. I don't think we're there yet. I know there's some discussion going on right now in Canada, as an example, but I think we're a ways off from those decisions right now. But I would say keep your ears to the grindstone. Listen up for Vertex News as part of the process.
Yeah, there always seems to be side effects to any law that's enacted. And, you know, right now with the current political climate, which we won't get too much into politics here, but if we start enacting tariffs on other countries, they tend to enact tariffs on us. And so if we're going to force their companies to pay a tax to us, then you may see some ramifications of that with other countries trying to increase or force people in the U.S. that are selling overseas to pay some sort of remittance as well. And that seems to be how things always go. So if you wanted to keep up with that kind of stuff, how do we subscribe to Vertex's newsletter? You got like an email list or something if we're really into tax and we want to know what's going on?
So I would drive folks to Vertex Inc. It's our website. It keeps you up to date with tax changes on our Wayfair landing page. It's www.vertexinc.com. We have a FAQ. We provide a blog as part of that process. You can also just reach out to Vertex and get on a mailing list so that you can keep up to date as part of that process.
All right. It looks like nobody has any questions. I think we've exhausted all the sales tax questions. It's a complex problem with a very, very simple answer. The problem is I need to pay taxes and they're all different on every location. And the answer is you need to use some sort of automation service like Vertex. So I'll ramble here for another minute. If you got a question, get it in, we'll get it answered. Again, if you're watching this on replay, just post it into the comments and I will reach out to Mark at Vertex here and get you an answer. Mark, do you have any parting words or shots there you want to give to the live audience?
I would just, like I said, starting, when you think of sales and new tax automation, think of Vertex. We're a leader in tax technology. We provide solutions and services for corporations all over the world. We maintain the rates in nearly 10,000 U.S. jurisdictions, and we can manage your sales and use tax complexity as part of that process. We're proven and ready to accommodate any new customers or accommodate customers that work through the process of Wayfair and this type of a ruling.
Well, thank you for watching. It's been another successful live stream, even though we had a few bumps. I pressed a wrong button and we actually for the first time had a guest completely disconnect in the middle of the stream and then we couldn't even switch views. So it's been a bumpy road. We're gonna try to start keeping these live streams a little shorter, a little more concise and a little more focused on your questions. So please hit that subscribe button. Come back next week and in future weeks with questions so that we can get them answered. If you have topics you want us to cover, let me know. I've got some openings. I've got four definitely scheduled and on the docket right now. I'm still working on a few more, but I want to move topics that you want to hear about and you have questions about to the top of that list. So please, you can find me eCommerceAholic on Twitter. I'll hit this little button right here so it shows up there on the screen. Hit me up on Twitter. Let me know. Post in the comments. Let me know what topics you want to hear about. Again, thanks for watching. Tune in next week as we have some of the Magento Commerce Cloud team on to talk about their offering. And I look forward to seeing you in the next live stream. All right, looks like we are off here. Let me see if I can get this. Yeah, we got some work to do on that end card there, but maybe I just need to know how it works. That was good, man. We kept it short. It wasn't too long. We got a few questions there. Not a huge amount of questions, but it's one of those things. It's like, how do we need to fix it? Use Vertex. I mean, how many questions are you going to have, right?
That's a tough topic. I appreciate you taking the time today, TJ, and inviting us on to have that conversation. That was great.
No, definitely. Thank you. I mean, Vertex has been great since you guys jumped into the community. They sponsored some of our meetups. Drew went on a road trip with us down the East Coast there to our meetup tour. Aaron is always great to hang out with at all of these events. So it's great to meet you. We're big fans of what Vertex is doing in the community at this point, and you guys are definitely our sales and automation provider of choice.
Oh, we appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your day, man.
Yes, sir. Take it easy.
You too.
All right. Bye. Bye. All right. Let's shut us down here. I hit stop record here, or not? I didn't stop record. I'm sorry. I forgot about the record button. Yeah, we moved that.